Hey everybody, welcome to video two in the Poolside series. Today we're going to be talking about the topic, a desire to meet him. This is the first theme, the first week that you're going to come to. This is sort of the foundation for the next few days. Some of you may have already jumped in and done a few of those lessons, which is great, getting used to the format and the way that Poolside is set up. So today is really just going to be encouragement. It's going to be just drawing out what does that mean, a desire to meet him just a little bit more. And as I was thinking about this particular topic, I happened to have a dream a couple of nights ago. And in the dream, there's an unknown person who's talking to me about how God has let them down for so long. And they're so grieved by this, and they're so stuck in this place of feeling let down by God. And I remember I'm sitting with them and I'm comforting them, letting them know that I hear what they're saying. And then I wake up and I was really reflecting on, I think so many of us can relate to that, feeling disappointed in God or feeling let down by God. In fact, I think if we were all sitting together in a room and I took a poll, we'd all raise our hand to say, yeah, at one point at another, we felt let down by God. We felt disappointed in God. We felt unheard, overlooked. However you want to categorize it, we can all relate to that feeling. And when we're in that place of feeling that God's let us down, when we're in that place of feeling disappointed by God, it's very hard to actually even have a desire or even a curiosity to want to meet him, because we think, well, I mean, what good is that going to do? You know, it's sort of where it gets easier for us to sort of sit in the stringency of religion in our religious systems and be void of relationship with Jesus, because we like our boxes. We like our to-do list. We like accomplishments. We absolutely, as humans, love control. And we know that relationship does not mean controlling others. And relationship with God or Jesus certainly doesn't mean controlling the outcome. Although sometimes in our religious systems, we're sort of led to believe that it will. And I know personally, for me, most of my life, I didn't think God was safe. I thought God was a taskmaster. I certainly felt like I fell short of that, of any expectations he had of me. In fact, I felt like it was easier for me to stay distant or withdrawn. And it seemed that the safest place was sort of keeping a distance or not even getting my hopes up in God, because what good was that going to do? And I certainly didn't have a desire to meet him or talk about Jesus or even read the Bible. I just, you know, that wasn't even there for me. I just kind of wanted to fly under the radar, be left alone, which actually was a dangerous position now looking back, because it really opened the door for oppression, a lot of pain, and a lot of confusion. And it left me to my own wonderings, you know, trying to figure it out. It left me in this place of being my own little God, which was not a good place at all. In fact, it led me down a lot of dangerous roads and a lot of dead ends. And I really couldn't get past understanding what does it mean to even have a relationship with Jesus. I never even knew that was possible. You know, I think about when we're young, we all go through this process in education where we're set up in a classroom setting. And in that classroom setting, we're very much programmed to believe and conditioned to understand that we can control the outcome, meaning that, you know, the hours, the time, the behavior that I put in is going to equal a certain outcome. In other words, if I do this, I'm going to get that. And then that's going to lead to a very specific outcome. So we learn early on that A plus B equals C. My behavior plus time plus good study habits equals outcome. And the outcome is good grades or bad grades. And oftentimes we tend to approach Jesus the same way, you know, and it's why we like our religious systems, because it's what works. We think, okay, well, I've said this, I've done that, now it should lead to this. And it actually ends up leading us into this place of feeling void. There is no fulfillment in that. There is only this push and this performance and this, I've got to do this so this will happen. And then the whole system falls apart when the outcome that we least expect or the outcome that we didn't want is actually what manifests before us. And, you know, even the religious leaders of the day in the time of Jesus, they were angry because Jesus did not fit into their box. You know, Jesus blew past all of their assumptions and released this kingdom extravagance that they were not used to. They were not ready for. They weren't accustomed to that. And they didn't like it because they had no way of controlling people. And so we on our own are left to wanting to control versus being able to surrender and be in a relationship and have it be this compatibility. We don't even understand what that might look like with God. You know, we really are hardwired for fellowship with Jesus, with fellowship with God. We are created by him in his image so that we in our human form can always and everywhere commune with our Heavenly Father. In fact, it's why in Ephesians 1, Paul writes and he says, he chose us, he chose you in him before the creation of the world. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. So God has already chosen us. He's already predestined us. He's already accepted us through Jesus Christ, and he is ready to be in relationship, in fellowship with us. Now it's up to us to understand and walk towards that. And so that's what today's about, is just helping you unpack that a little bit more. You know, I think we could all say that as a son and a daughter, all of us crave a healthy, loving, nurturing relationship with our mom or our dad. I mean, that's from the time that we're born, even as adults. I think every one of us would say, you know, I want a loving, healthy, strong, encouraging relationship with my parents. Or maybe you are a parent and you would even say of your own child, you know, all I want is a strong, loving, nurturing relationship with my child, or maybe my child to be. Maybe you're not a parent yet. So you can see that that idea of relationship, that yearning for love, that desire for community and sharing and nurturing, all of those are God's ideas already put in here. Those are his ideas that he deposited deep inside of us the moment that we were created. The moment he predestined us, even before the creation of the world, he's already deposited that in us. So that desire to be in relationship and to know him is actually deep inside of you. It's just, it's been covered up for some of us. It's been covered up by life's pains, the hurts, the broken dreams. So now we get to enter this time of allowing Jesus to safely help us uncover that desire that's in there and to connect with him. So, you know, the question for us really becomes, am I willing to make a place for Jesus in my life? And if the answer is yes, then what I would encourage you is to allow your curiosity to become the courage you need to connect with Jesus. See, in this section, you're going to meet several people who had disappointments, who had letdowns in their life. I mean, in fact, their stories sound very, very similar to so many of ours. The first one person you're going to meet is the woman at the well. No doubt she felt like she was just an absolute disappointment, yet Jesus didn't see her that way. Then you're also going to meet two friends walking down the road to Emmaus. They're so sad. They're so dejected. Their hearts are absolutely crushed, because Jesus has died, and that was not at all what they expected to happen. They are so disappointed in the outcome. They are so disappointed in what they are perceiving in that moment as to be the biggest discouragement they've ever, ever faced. And all of a sudden, they find themselves face to face with Jesus. You're also going to meet Martha. Martha, who you may be so familiar with her story already, Martha and Mary. And you know, Martha's so frustrated. She's so disappointed in everyone else's behavior and the fact that they're not living up to her expectations. Does that sound familiar? I could say, yep, sounds familiar over here. You know, what about Nicodemus? Nicodemus is so worried about what everyone else is going to think. He's so worried about embarrassing himself that he literally has to sneak through the night to meet Jesus. He wants to meet him. He just wants to do it undercover where nobody would know, you know, because he's sort of this face in the social circle. He's one of the religious leaders, and he would not dare want any of his peers to know that he even has a curiosity to meet Jesus. That can sound familiar too. I can say for me, being so public finally about my faith, even on social media, can sometimes be very daunting because you think, wow, you know, what are people going to think? So we're going to dive into that with Nicodemus and find out how does he overcome that that part of people, you know, their opinions and what they think of us. And the good news is that through all of this, Jesus understands disappointment, letdowns, loss, lost hope. His plea, his one plea to you is, would you be willing to allow him to answer for himself versus allowing your assumptions to answer for him? Would you be willing to allow Jesus to answer for himself about all the disappointments, the letdowns, the lost hopes, versus allowing your assumptions to answer for him? See, I don't think we've realized that through the years, as time goes on, we make assumptions and we allow those assumptions to become what we think is the voice of God. And Jesus is saying, that's not my voice. I want to answer that. I want to answer. I want to walk with you through those. And I want to show you what I really have to share about that. You know, I think the most powerful prayer that I ever prayed, and honestly, at the time, I did not even realize it was a prayer. I remember getting in my car one day after lunch with a good friend of mine, Shannon. This was the year 2008. And 3 months prior to that day, Shannon had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma stage 3. And the only thing that the doctors could offer her was experimental chemotherapy because the cancer had spread to her lymph nodes in her neck and in her chest. And so I remember getting that news in August of that year, and I remember being angry at God. You know, this is all happening on the heels of 15 solid years of being angry at God for me. That was my default. I knew how to be angry at God, and I thought, why would you let this beautiful woman get cancer? I had no understanding of how God works, how he operates. I just was angry. But Shannon had said, you know, and yet no one really knew how angry I was at God. That was just sort of my own inner territory situation. But she had asked me, hey, would you come with me to this place called Christ Healing Center where they pray for people to be physically healed? I was curious, but I was very skeptical, but I loved her. And I thought, of course, I will come and be a support. I had no idea what I was stepping into. And I had no idea that this was going to be a weekly prayer session that we embarked on, and my curiosity got the best of me, and I showed up week after week, and yet, you know, very skeptical. But I'll never forget, on my birthday, Shannon and I are sitting there, and she said, hey, just so you know, the doctor's going to call, give me the results of my PET scan, and let me know if the chemo's been working. And I thought, well, Shannon, we don't have to, you know, be together. That's a very private phone call. She said, no, this is where I'd want to be. So when the doctor called, she stepped out. Then a few minutes later, she came back to the table and she just had tears down her face. And she said, the cancer is gone. And I thought, oh, and I just sat there sort of, I had no words at that moment. She said, the cancer is gone. And the doctor said, what have you been doing? And Shannon said, I've been praying. And the doctor said, well, don't stop, because obviously it's working. In fact, her healing had so mystified her doctors. It was so radical. And I sat there at that table and I thought, oh my goodness, there was no denying what God had done. There is no denying what God had absolutely done, which was heal her 100% from cancer. And so because of that, I got in my car that day. And this is what I've now come to understand was this beautiful prayer of surrender. But really at the time, it was just more of God, Jesus, I don't think I know you. Those are literally the words that I said to God out loud by myself sitting in the car. I said, God, Jesus, I don't think I know you, but whatever you're doing, I'm in. And if you can heal cancer, then you can heal depression. And that's really what I was battling secretly on my own, was depression. And it's what had really, the only thing that kept me going was just my anger at God. And I just sort of at that moment, decided I wanted to know him. I wanted to meet him. I wanted to know him the way I saw Shannon know him, the way I saw Jack at the Christ Healing Center know him. I wanted to know that Jesus. And it wouldn't be maybe 2 months later that I would come face to face with an encounter with Jesus, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit that would radically change my life, which would give me a new heart, give me a new brain, and shift my life in a way, in a direction that I never would have dreamed, which is honestly sitting here right before you recording this video for a biblical connection study that I wrote. But it was just that simple moment of surrender and of stepping off my box of pride and anger and saying, God, I don't think I know you. So, you know, I think what Jesus asks of us today is are we willing to know him in a way that maybe we hadn't thought possible before? Because I think the biggest barrier for me was that I thought I knew everything about God. I already thought I knew everything there was to know about God, and I'd put him in this box of the taskmaster. I'd put him in this box of being, you know, this great judger who sits up there and judges and is a harsh dictator, you know, sort of this tyrannical sort of judgment process, and that he was distant and he was disconnected. And I never knew that God actually wanted to connect with me in a very personable one-on-one way. And all of that, all of what I thought I knew about God is literally what kept me bound. It's what held me back from allowing him to show up for me in his way. And so here's the invitation for today. The invitation is, maybe we don't know everything about God. Maybe we might get to a place of being willing to allow him to show up in his way, in his words, with his heart. And so if you're willing, I'd love to lead you through a very simple prayer that would just invite God to do just that. So if you're willing, repeat after me. Jesus, I want to know you and experience you. I admit I've allowed my assumptions about you to drown out your voice. Jesus, I want to make a place for you in my heart and in my life. Amen. Just that simple. I want to close today reading in Hebrews 1. And this is right out of, let's see, the Passion Translation. If you're not familiar with the Passion Translation, it's one of my favorite Bible translations. It's so extravagant, loving, encouraging. It's absolutely beautiful. And this starts in verse 2. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, "But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins, and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one." Y'all, he is so excited that you are willing to allow him to speak to you, that you are willing to put aside everything that you thought you knew, every religious system that you've operated in. Jesus is so ready to answer your curiosity, even if it's just a little curiosity, even if it's just a little desire. Y'all, I had just a little desire, a very frightening desire to go, okay, God, I don't think I know you. But when you give God this much, he gives you so much. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your journey. I would love for you to DM me with your questions or your comments, or comment below in the social media if you're watching it there, or even email me through my website. You know where to find me. I'd love to see your pictures or your posts. Tag me where you're doing Poolside and what's going on. It's really exciting to see how God has sent this out to many, many places all over the U.S. It's been very exciting. So I hope to connect with you. Don't be shy about reaching out. And I look forward to next week sharing more with you as we talk about a willingness to let God see in. Bless you and have a great day.